made me laugh till I cried are all things no one has ever said about any episode of this podcast. Today might be different. Maybe you'll find this entertaining. Welcome to Complete Drivel. This is a really long intro to a podcast. I love that this episode is pretty much just opener with a little bit of content.
I recently did an interview with Facebook for Screenfest. And they asked me some really interesting questions. And I often struggle a lot to come up with content for this podcast because when you upload content on TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, you get to the podcast and you go, I have fucking nothing left to give. And I thought it would be really interesting if I go through some of the questions that they asked because I don't know whether you'll find it interesting. I found it really interesting. Not myself, just like having to really think about, I don't know. Let me just go through what they asked and I'll try and regurgitate what was said. The first question was, how did you first get into comedy? Which I thought was really interesting. That's so boring.
Oh, how did you first get into comedy? Well, I found it very interesting. It was a very cathartic experience.
Like, sorry, that sounds so fucking boring. But I'm going to answer it anyway because I've got nothing else to talk about. You know, I've been in radio for 9 years, and I think the first soiree into comedy came, I lied in my answer. I said radio for them because it was just, it's too complicated for me to give the truth. The truth is, I think pretty much first got into comedy when I was younger and mum and dad were really pretty good with us. They let us take the camcorder, is what they called it, which was not cheap. And we would make videos. So I've got triplet brothers. I'm not a triplet. Everyone gets confused. I'm older. They're 5 years younger. And we would make CSI videos. And I would take over. I would play director. And it was always, it was always comedy. I would always turn it into comedy. It was never, they wanted to do serious dramatic drama. And I was always, let's make this funny. And I remember, I was such an asshole. I took over. I would see them doing something. I'm like, guys, we need to film an opener. And that was all I would do. That was the only thing I would ever film in these videos. And then I was gone. I would film the opening sequence. You know, in ER, I've done many a podcast on ER, but we are going to play the theme from ER just to get us in the zone. Theme from ER. Here we go. So, how does this start? Anyway, so I would be like, okay, we've got to pick a theme. And you know when, like, so we'd shoot like a little piece of comedy, content while this music would be going. And it'd be really dramatic. And it would look like it was like this really dramatic, like tomato sauce for blood. And then the theme would kick in. And then it would be just montages of the actors starring in it, but it was just my brothers and me. And then they would look at the camera, you know, like they turned to look at the camera. Dun, 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 dun. I just love this song. But you know what I mean? It was just like, they would be like, I would be making remember the Tim give CPR to my other brother. And then he would just pause and look at the camera and smile. Whilst like tomato sauce was everywhere. And then another one was I would make, one, and I didn't realize I was doing this at the time, but I made a friend of ours, Tim, another Tim, walk out of a closet. And that wasn't some metaphor. I just thought it was funny because it was so, like, it didn't make sense. And so it would be like, dun, 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 dun. And he'd just step out of a closet and look at the camera and smile. And then it would cut to Nick, like, you know, scalp pulling out my brother's, like, innards. And then, you know, this is mad panic. And I'd look at the camera. Like, even now, like, I find that shit so funny. And I'm sure all of you are sitting there going, I don't understand what you're saying, Christian. And also, it's not that funny. But I just still find that stuff so funny. And that was my first... That was really when I first started exploring comedy, was through these home videos. Oh, far out. I wish we... They've still got to be... So my mum has kept everything. And there's just this one opener to CSI. What's the CSI music? Who are you? Do it. Is it the Who? The Who. Oh, the Who's not on here. Is it? Hold on. Sorry, I know you don't need to hear the Who, but I do. I just really need to hear it. Oh my God, here we go. Oh, is it Bubba O'Reilly? No, that's not it. The Who. Pinball Wizard? Nope. Oh, what a great song. Oh, I can't play any of this music. I'm not supposed to play any of this music on here. It's copyrighted. Who are you? And just turn to the camera with a deadpan look whilst giving CPR. Is that not... I forgot I'm not actually supposed to play any copyrighted music on here. Is that not just so funny? Oh, fuck, I want to do that again. I still want to do that. There's a TikTok up. There's a TikTok I made my family do. Oh, I'm not going to get into it. You probably won't find it funny. Okay, question two was, what tips and skills from our radio training did we... Sorry, because I did this with Tanya. What tips and skills from radio did I use that carried into your content making decisions today? So I think it's funny because... I get the idea that a lot of people don't have any idea what I do behind the scenes. They think I open up advent calendars and look at sex toys and eat a lot of food. And you're not wrong. I absolutely do those things. But there was, you know, when you spend 9 years in radio trying to become the next, you know, Kyle Sanderlands, you learn a shitload of things. And it's also really fascinating because... You know, now being a boss and now looking at things from a different perspective, I was an employee and now I can understand the mindset of, you know, Ben and Phoebe, what they expect from their boss. And also, I've been them. So, does that make sense? That makes no sense. That made sense in my head. What I'm trying to say is, radio taught me so many lessons and... I would not have the success that I have now if it wasn't for radio. You know, those 9 years were grueling and I earned absolutely, you know, for the first 7 years, I earned nothing. I earned no money. Oh, the money was awful. It was so bad. It's almost like I put my time in for this moment. Now I'm earning a fortune. Now the business, okay, the business is earning a fortune. I am the business. I just don't like saying I'm earning a fortune. It just feels gross. But he says, after telling you that I bought a $800 Oculus Rift like it was nothing. Oh, and I just had my bathrooms redone. And I bought a new car outright with cash. I didn't buy a new car. Still got my Mazda. But I like, you know the story. Great. So, you know, those 9 years, this is what I learned. They drill into you to get to the point. Sorry, that's really funny because this is a podcast where I absolutely don't get to the point. But in my video making, I know that you need it, hooking and teasing is such a huge thing in radio. You always hook. You always want them to be listening for that extra 15 minutes because that's what they tick in the survey book. That's what gets you more advertising dollars in radio. So it was always how to hook them in. And so I learned a lot about... hooking and teasing, which is what we call it. And so I've really been able to adapt that into the merch side of the business. When I launch a product, if I launch something out of the blue, it doesn't go that well. When I hook and tease something, like these hoodies, I just sell a fuckload of them. And it's really important. And that's what I'm trying, when people have asked for advice, that's the advice that I give them. Hook and tease your merch. Hook and tease your videos. Hook and tease everything. because it builds the hype up, it gets people excited, and then when you drop it, they're prepared for it. It's not out of the blue. They're not like, oh, will I watch this today? They're like, oh my God, I've seen all of the, you know, you give them, what I learned was it was 80-20. You give them 80% of, not the content, but you give them 80% of what you're hooking. For example, if I got in a jet plane and I flew upside down and I did spins and then I vomited, when you hook that, there's so many different ways you can do it. And a lot of people fall into the trap of not revealing me in the plane. This is the conversation I had with Ben. He's pretty good with it all, but he's really conservative in his hooking, and I am very liberal. So sometimes I'm too liberal and it ruins us. And what I mean by that is sometimes I will give too much in a hook or a tease that it doesn't leave people wanting to come and get their fulfillment almost because I've given it to them. Whereas Ben's a lot more conservative. He pulls it back, you know, right before I vomit. I don't know if I'm doing a great job of explaining this. For example, in the plane footage, you give them some vision of me spinning in the plane, but you don't give them the gold. You want them to, like, I want you to see me in the plane screaming. But a lot of people are like, oh, don't show that bit. But I'm like, no, I want you to see that because that's only a small part. Then you can cut to black and you can hear me throw up, but you can't see me throw up. And I'm like, that's a great hook. But Ben's like, maybe we don't want to hear or see you throw up. We just mention that you threw up. And then that's where that's where you sort of try and meet this line. But this is what radio has taught me. It's really all in the hook and the tease. And if you nail a great hook and a great tease, the content will sell itself. Like, it sells itself. You literally don't have to do any more. A really great example of that. This was a moment I was really proud of, and it was one of the last videos I'd done with Carrie and Tommy, and it was so great, and Carrie was such a legend. So for those of you that don't know, Carrie and Tommy was a radio show that I used to work on. It was in the afternoon, and it has Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Carrie Bickmore hosts the project. Tommy Little is a famous comedian, and they'd been together on air for maybe 3 years at this point, and Carrie was, 8.5 months pregnant. And we played a prank on Tommy, awful, where she goes into labor. And then he has to drive into the hospital because we can't find her car keys and she's panicking. And we rigged up the cars and everything. And so we had to try and convince him to get in the car. Anyways, it all worked really, really, really well. And he freaked the fuck out. So he ends up driving her to hospital. And he drops her for the hospital, and Carrie's husband's there to meet us. Like, it was a full prank. And and then he drives back, and we fake, we haven't told him at this point. So he thinks Carrie is currently having a baby. And so, 45 minutes later, she comes back in, surprised, I didn't have a baby. And he's like, that was amazing, but also, fuck you. And so then I had to piece together this video. And I ended up using the cell. I didn't use any of the vision. I didn't use any of the vision of Carrie. It was just text. And the text said, Carrie's gone into labor. And it's audio. And that was it. And that was the cell. It was just audio of Carrie being like, oh my God, I think I'm having a baby. And because it gets Carrie Bickmore, everyone's invested and they all know she's pregnant. And that it just fucking went off. And then the content just sells itself, right? Because everyone was like, oh my God, Carrie's having a baby. And we put in there that it was a prank. And it just did really well. The other one was when we had a gender reveal balloon and Carrie does a gender reveal. And there was obviously, we didn't reveal anything. It was green. and that was oh my gosh, I'm just reminiscing about moments that you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But it was, she pops this balloon, reveals the gender, and obviously the cell was right up until she pops it. So you hear the pop and then you hear everyone screaming, but you don't see what the balloon is, and we'd hook to the show. And it just makes people want to listen. And you're basically telling them that they're about to find out what the gender is, but when they listen and watch the video, they're going to be heinously let down because there is no reveal. But that hook, like, they are, in their mind, they create what the rest of the video or the rest of the audio is going to sound like. They're like, oh my God, we are definitely finding out if it's a boy or a girl. And so that's what the you give that vision, you sort of instilling that in the mind of the audience. So they create, it can let you down because they can be like, oh, that's annoying. But you just want to bring them in. You want to bring them in. And that's what I learned in radio. You want to really hook them in. Great. That was a great chat. Thanks for that, Christian. Thank you. Is anyone still listening? What's this other question? So good. Lesson number two. Blah, blah, blah. Short form. Is there any big lessons you've learned along the way in mistakes that you've made? I didn't really answer this one because it really... No. I think a lot of the lessons I've made come from reading a lot of the feedback. You know, and I'll change content here and there. You know, I legitimately, it's just from your comments. You know, I got a lot of people say that episode where you sung karaoke and we couldn't hear any of the music was dreadful. I thought it was the best thing I'd ever done. Everyone hated it. Not surprised, to be honest. But I think, you know, like, I'm not going to do that again because it was funny one time. It's not funny two times. Also, people wanting me to be a nurse. That was not something I would choose to do. I don't know anything about being a nurse. But, you know, when I played Trish being a nurse, it was one of the biggest videos I'd ever had. And so I think the biggest lessons I've made is to collaborate with you guys. Listen to what you have to say. I try and bring you in a fair bit. I'll throw something out on Facebook. What has your kid drawn? What lies have you told your kid? And then I read them out. It's very lazy content, but it's very funny. And it seems to rate so well. And so I guess it's more that the lesson is I'm not solely reliant on ideas from myself. Or from Phoebe and Ben. Like now I've got, you know, Phoebe and Ben and Trudy. We can all come up with stuff together. But when I was just me, I relied a lot on, you know, you guys to help. Great. Good question. Good chat. Oh, this was a really good one. It says here, you've used your platforms on Facebook and Instagram as a springboard for many other opportunities. Merch to books, podcast and hosting. How did these opportunities come about? Now, I think it's good to be really realistic in this. And I think with this, and with the comparison to working in radio and social media, is now I'm in complete control of whatever the fuck I want to do. I was going to say I can pretty much do it. I can't do whatever the fuck I want to do. But the power of having, you know, 1.4 million people on TikTok, you know, 1.1 million on Facebook, and you've got 225,000 on Instagram. And for a long time, I was like, well, if there's 1.4 million on TikTok, you can guarantee the 1.1 million on Facebook is also all on TikTok. So it's just, you know, it's basically just like 1.4 million. It's not 1.4 plus 1.1 makes 2.5. No, because you'll have a lot of crossover. It turns out on Instagram and Facebook, I have virtually no crossover. I have like 11% or 20, what did Kirsty say? 25% of my Instagram audience are also following me on Facebook, which I found fascinating because there's 225,000 Instagram and there's 1.1. Oh, I love spreading out that number. It's a lot of people on Facebook, and 25% crossover. I was mind blown. And so, anyways, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of people who follow me and I have a big head and I'm a narcissist. With having such a large following, it gives you such an incredible amount of power. Because now, you know, my merch business is successful because I'm able to bring people into my life, show you the journey of what I'm doing, and then you guys are wonderful enough to buy these terrible products. They're actually really good. I actually love, firstly, I love the hoodies. Love the fan. I had a giant fan with Rude Fingers on it. Oh, the beans, like everything is amazing and fun. And I wouldn't be able to do it. You can't do that on radio. I mean, well, unless you're Hamish and Andy, but Hamish and Andy have that huge cult following. And so, you know, being able to do the book, do the podcast, this podcast wouldn't be successful if you'd never seen anything on Facebook. Let's be real. You didn't come to this. Podcast, no one discovered me. If you did, I'd love to know. But no one... this is a secondary option, if you know what I mean. You've saw some Facebook, then you've come to the podcast. And this podcast wouldn't exist had I not had Facebook. So this opportunity, the book, you know, Alan and Unwin wouldn't come and ask me to do a book if they couldn't. 1.1 million people I can sell to. So that's how these opportunities came about. But, yeah, is that the answer? Such a terrible answer. That's not the answer I gave, is it? No, I think it is. Fully having a conversation with myself. I think the ultimate takeaway was when you're on the mainstream media, when you're on TV, newspaper, print, radio, you really are beholden to a manager or a CEO or a boss who is in control. They're in control of the scheduling. They're in control of the shows. And they're really... they're dictated by the ratings. In some cases, not. I mean, you look at some of the shows in Melbourne. There were some breakfast radio shows that were completely abandoned and they were rating number one. So, it's really, you know, you look at those shows and you go, okay, we're rating number one, we're doing really well. Suddenly, we don't have a job anymore. You don't take that audience with you. It stays on the dial, on the station, and people just listen to a new host. People don't really flick around and they don't really change. You know, Kyle and Jackie O is a really great example of them when people did. They moved for the talent. They went from Today FM, Kyle and Jackie O, since they were retiring, and they went to KISS, and then they took that entire audience with them. And that's probably the closest thing I can mention in social media. The Today FM Kyle and Jackie O thing was a terrible, terrible decision. You had a team, you had Kyle and Jack rating number one in Sydney on Today FM going, this is how much we value ourselves. And they went in high. Today FM went, nah, you're not with that. And Kyle and Jack were like, oh, okay. Well, then it's our last year. We're not re-signing. Little did everyone know that they'd actually had a deal over on another radio station that was rebranding and relaunching. They then did a cheeky thing where they went to another network, and a lot of people were like, well, that's okay, we're Today FM. You know, we're Sydney's number one hit music station, Today FM. Kyle and Jackie go over to KISS. The first, you know, 8 weeks later, the first survey book comes out, the first ratings come out, because radio, it's so okay, you got to tick a book. And literally all, I'm not joking, they were rating number one when they left Today FM, and they were rating number one on KISS when they moved across. They took everyone. And that's because they're such huge personalities. And that's like how I feel. I have this audience that I can take with me wherever I go. Does that make sense? You know, It's like a little leverage. I don't know if I'm making any sense whatsoever. But that's where all these opportunities come from. It's because I can use that to be like, hey, I want to film a video. I want to go to New Zealand. I don't want to film a bunch of just stuff. It's so stunning. And so the first thing I'll do is I'll ask New Zealand Tourism if it's worthwhile, if they want to collab. And that way... they can pay for flights and they can show us the best parts of the country without us having to plan anything. And then I'll be like, yeah, can you also give us money? And then they'll go, no. And I'll go, that's fine, just show us around. Or they might just say no completely and then we have to pay for it ourselves. But that's, you know, like I can go, I've got, well, I've got a 1 million on TikTok, I've got 1 million here, and then they see value in that. And then next minute we're able to do stuff that I wouldn't be able to afford to do. So it comes with, yeah, just a lot of waffle in this episode, isn't it? Oh my God, we've got 25 minutes. I haven't even told you about my amazing sexual experience. I'm going to drag that out for another episode. And then lastly, the last thing in this interview was, what tips and tricks would you offer to aspiring content creators? And I think, it's to just start. The biggest tip. What advice could you give me? I'm like, just fucking, you want to start? Start. No one knows where to start. You just jump in. Just jump in the pool and start flailing around. You won't die. I mean, that's, you jump in a pool, you drown, but you won't drown in this instance. Start using the features. Make some, well, it depends what you want to do. If you want to do comedy, make some videos. TikTok is the best place to start. It's the most shareable platform out of all of them. It's the most discoverable. It is where you'll have the most success. And you'll work out quickly what videos work, what doesn't work. You know, I would do videos, and then it wasn't until I started making the Trish parent videos, and they would just, everyone was just a hit, and I would try and make some other weird random ones, and they didn't work. So I was like, okay, well, the Trish character is resonating. So I did Trish. I milked her to death, and now I've got nothing left. I don't know what to do with her. Everyone's like, bring Trish back. But I'm like, I've done everything. And so, you know, then I go on to the next thing, selling fuck-off products. Or just doing random shit. And so it's just about finding what works and what doesn't work. And you have to do them. And then a lot of people are like, but I don't want my friends and family to see. They won't fucking see. Don't tell them. They're not going to be searching for content that you're making unless you tell them. So just give it a while. The other thing is, when you do content, if you're confident enough and you want people to see it, you want to make enough content so that you almost launch yourself. So if you make one really good video, it's always best just to keep that to yourself. You want to build a catalog. Look, I think what I'm trying to say is, I can relate this in a more podcast sense. If you want to start a podcast, you never do one episode and release that into the world. You want to, people do, but in my mind, you do all 10 episodes and you release all 10 at the same time. Because, or each day. Or, well, you could do it where, if you're, it really depends. If you're doing a series, no, scrap that. My God, I'm all over the place. If you've never done a podcast and you do one episode, people are going to listen to that one episode and they've got nothing else to go off of. So you launch with 5 episodes. So they've got 5 episodes. And by the time they get to the 5th, there's the 6th. And then they're now in a rhythm. Does that make any sense? That makes no... I feel like a lot of this podcast makes no sense to anyone but myself. So good luck, everyone. My other tip is, make your username. What's the time? Fuck! Woolworths is closing. I've got to go. Anyway, make your username your actual name. Okay, bye. Has it stopped? No, it hasn't stopped. Where's my phone? I need to pack. Okay, bye. I'm actually going.
You're listening to a podcast called Complete Drivel, endorsed by Apple and Tim Cook. Maybe not endorsed, but I did feature in an Apple keynote presentation for 0.01 of a second. So clearly, this is one of the top podcasts that Apple have deemed. Does it make any sense? That made no sense, much like the rest of this episode.